afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, May 21st, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How's your day been so far?
Oh, it's always a great day. Always a great day.
It's a beautiful day for sure.
It certainly is.
Every time
that I'm blessed with waking up in the morning, you get to a certain age.
Oh, yes.
And it is 39, ladies and gentlemen. When you get to that certain age.
Well, you know, when you get to be our age and get out of bed in the morning and your feet still move and everything's working, including the plumbing, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good.
Hey, before getting anything serious, I found the perfect gift. I got the perfect gift that we can get Todd, our producer.
What's that?
And he didn't have a Rolls Royce, but he has an RV, right? So we can get him the Rolls Royce Champagne Chest. We'll level up your pretentious picnic name game. Listen to this. Introducing the Champagne Chest from Rolls Royce, an official addition to the accessories collection. Featuring machine aluminum and carbon fiber covered in natural grain black leather, the construction of the champagne chest is akin to the meticulous build of the motor cars themselves. Beneath the serving tray is a configuration of four hand-blown crystal champagne flutes. The optional caviar arrangements includes two thermal caviar caissons, two blending caissons, and a pair of mother-and-pearl spoons. Now, wouldn't that be nice for Todd and his RV?
I think I'd like to have that.
But it's only $48,000.
Forget Todd, Butch. If you're giving away gifts, forget Todd.
But it's only $48,000.
Oh, okay.
You're no biggie, right?
No biggie.
But I thought maybe, you know, for you folks that sell gold and silver, you might want to buy something like that because you're so wealthy anyway, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Once gold gets to $48,000, it's only going to take an ounce, right?
There you go. You can buy a roll and go with it then.
Let's put it all in perspective here, you know.
But I thought it was a nice gift. I thought I'd bring it up because it's a nice gift for somebody.
Yeah, it's a nice gift for somebody. What we didn't have a nice gift for, though, is gold today. We have gold down $3.20 today at $12.75. Silver is down a penny at $14.53. Platinum was up $2 at $820. Palladium was down 14 at $1,320. The USDX today is stronger by 0.13 at 98.05. Crude oil was down 0.08 at 63.02. It really is interesting. I mean, here we have the dollar up over 98, and yet gold is still trading at 1275. So I think that's pretty good. And so, you know, if the dollar keeps going stronger, we'll get to the point where, you know, the dollar will reverse itself and head to the upside. But so that's why we're seeing a little bit of pressure on gold, along with everything else, all the other manipulation and so forth. But for something that you can see and draw a direct line to, however small that line may be, you have strength in the dollar and weakness in gold for the day.
And
the
what US a buying paper, opportunity. What a buying opportunity.
It really is. It really is. The Dow was up 197 points today at 25,877. The NASDAQ was up over a little over a percent at 7,785. The S&P was up 24 at 2,864. 10-year yield 2.43%. European and Asian markets are quiet. Bitcoin got back up to 8, and it's just really strange trading days. It really is. I have no explanation. The markets are rigged. You can call it could be computer trading, the algorithms. It could be the plunge protection team. It could be just a little bit of and I do agree. You know, whenever there was talk of an agreement with China and the trade talks, everything was getting better. And then as soon as they stopped, everything got worse. And I'll tell you what. Now they're not even talking about. Or they're not talking much about it, is the trade discussions with China. And Xi Jinping has said that China is embarking on a new long march. signaling no end to trade war soon. However, today, the United States eased the Huawei restrictions. Remember, that was the company that, there was no one could do any business with them.
Right.
No one. And now all of a sudden, the United States is easing the restrictions. So that is most likely a demand from China to go a little bit further in these trade talks. So to me, I think that's a big deal. It kind of sees where it's on. But President Xi Jinping ramped up his rhetoric by saying China's embarking on a new long march. And although he didn't mention the U.S. or the ongoing trade war, the remarks are interpreted as a clear sign that China is not going to cave in anytime soon. Chinese Vice Premier Liu He, he's the top trade negotiator, was in company with Xi during his tour. And he says they're at the starting point of the long march to remember the time when the Red Army began its journey. We are now embarking on a new long march, and we must start all over again. And that's in reference to, I believe it's in reference to China's civil war back in the 30s. And he also visited rare earth mining and processing facilities on Monday. And there has been speculation that China could ban rare earth exports to the U.S. if the trade war escalates. And so we've seen this back and forth negotiations. Right now it's out of the news, so the markets are just going up as if there is going to be some sort of agreement, possibly either at the G20 meeting that's coming up or prior to. But I do think it's interesting about this, that the U.S. has eased the Huawei restrictions. So that is kind of interesting.
Well, do you think China has enough power to influence that, or was something we did out of goodwill? Just curious.
I think perhaps they placed 100% of those restrictions on Huawei to get China to move. Maybe China moved and they, eased off them. Who knows what, came in about. But I don't think it was just done for the goodwill. But last night, the Commerce Department said they would allow Huawei to purchase American-made goods in order to maintain existing networks and provide software updates. But remember, this is the same company before, when everybody bent out of shape, when there was a reference to their employees that we went back to letting them buy U.S. goods so their people can go back to work. It was about their jobs, So I don't know. It's a back and forth situation. I don't think anything is done out of the goodness of our hearts. It's negotiating with, Red China.
Well, obviously China has a lot of clout, and obviously Americans feed off a lot of Chinese goods. So we'll see. Maybe I don't know what the reason was. Maybe there was some pressure put on our government. I have no idea. But they did it for some reason.
Well, some of the retail sales, you had Kohl's, their shares plunged 12% after reporting weaker than expected earnings. JCPenney also dropped almost 7.5% following the release of their quarterly numbers. So, again, we know that the retail sector is,
Oh, yes.
Not doing well, but that's just,
I don't know.
You got some stuff on Dress Barn, right?
I do. I was going to say Dress Barn is closing, going out of business, and I have seen Dress Barn stores. I have no idea where they are in this area, anywhere near, but I thought it was kind of, I just don't understand what they're doing for sure. But anyway, New York business, the retail industry, suffered another blow Monday after Dress Barn's parent company announced it was shutting down the clothing chain's operations. It's been our pleasure to serve you, making all the more difficult to let you know that the decision has been made to begin winding down the Dress Barn stores. Gary Muto, CEO of Dress Barn's parent company, Ascente Retail Group, said in a statement. Muto said the company will eventually close all its roughly 650 Dress Barn stores, but they remain open for now. 650 stores, Melody. That is a lot of stores and a lot of people going up to go somewhere else. That's amazing. If there are only 10 employees per store, you figure that up, how many people are going to be out of work. And I know everybody said, well, the unemployment rate's down, the lowest has been in 49 years, and all this, that, and the other, so they'll find a job tomorrow. They may do it. But it may be at McDonald's or Burger King also. Maybe not as something where they can sustain themselves. But it's another big hit. I'm going to look up sometime online how many retail stores have closed in the last 2 years. It'd be a staggering number, I'm sure. You agree?
Yes, I agree. And I was trying to recall that number, but I can't at the moment.
But you know, it's amazing to answer the problem of people, like states losing their taxing base, and a lot of them are. Illinois is one of those states who is really hurting financially. And of course, the only answer is always the same answer. Let's raise taxes. Now listen to this. I'm not going to share all, but just a few I'm going to share with you. Gas hike will raise $1.2 billion extra dollars. The preliminary capital plan relies on doubling Illinois' motor fuel tax to 38 cents from 19 cents per gallon. Said any drivers filling up in Chicago will pay 96 cents in taxes and fees on $2.46 gallons of gasoline, an effective tax burden of 39%. So every gallon of gas, $2.46, you're paying $0.96 in taxes and fees. Now, Melanie, that's a lot of money in tax and fees on gasoline, is it not?
It really is. And the bad thing about it is people don't know how much they're paying for
all
that.
No, they don't. But you know, it's something everybody that works has to have. I mean, if you drive anywhere to work, you got to have gasoline. And all states hammer. West Virginia does the same thing, too. We hammer gasoline. They say it goes to the roads. Well, maybe so. But how much more can the people afford to pay to cover for any reason? And vehicle registration is going to have a fee hike also in Illinois. The preliminary capital plan will also make vehicle registration fees, imposing a new structure based on the age of the car. The current fee of $101 would jump to $199 for vehicles 3 years old or newer, $169 for 4 to 6 year olds, $139 for vehicles 7 to 11 years old, $109 for vehicles 12 years old and older. So that's quite a hike in vehicle registration fees. And they would also double the real estate transfer tax. That would go up from $1 on every $500 value instead of 50 cents. And if you own an electric car, I thought this is pretty shocking. They're going to raise the registration fee for electric cars to $250 a year. It used to be $34 for every other year. Now, that's a hike. I know there's not many electric cars out there. I realize that. But that's not the point again. The point is they did it. That's went up, you know, a huge amount from $34 every other year, which would be roughly $17 a year, to $250 a year, Melody. That's a 12, 13-fold increase. That's a lot of money increase, is it not?
Yeah, it is. You
but
know,
see,
it's funny.
That's the only answer they have. States and governments don't have any other answer. They don't produce anything. They have nothing. They produce only more bureaucrats and more taxation. And as long as the people keep tolerating it, it's going to keep on going because the dollar's dropping in value. So in order to pay the bills, they have to increase taxes. So that means our dollar, mine, your dollar, drops in value also. But the tax burden increases also, which cuts our income that much more. That hurts.
It really does, and it irritates me when people just don't seem to care. You know, they and I don't get it. I guess they feel to the point where they're strapped, they can't do anything anyway. And it's just, you know, and that's why this thing is going to play itself out. I don't care how many jobs we have. I don't care how many, or, you know, how good this country seems like it's working. If you have these taxes, they're just going to keep taking every little dime that you make away from you. And
absolutely.
People just can't grasp that. And people want to know why they can't get ahead. It isn't because their wages aren't going up. It's because they're being taxed to death along with inflation. So good grief.
Inflation is
started on taxes.
Inflation is the most sneaky tax there is. You know that.
No, it's government stealing from people.
That's exactly right. No one considers it a tax because it's not voted on by Congress or a state legislature. But it is a tax on your earnings. Inflation is a tax on your earnings. It eats up what you make, so you have less to spend on this, on necessities. And I know people personally who are really, really struggling just to pay their water bills and power bills, Melody. And there's nothing much anybody can do about it. I mean, these people are working. They're working hard. They're working. They're not sitting at home drawing welfare. They're working. But they're getting frustrated because they can't pay the bills, working sometimes as much as 60 hours a week. They still can't pay the bills. That's a sad thing. And they're living in a mobile home. They're not living in a mansion. They're driving about a 1990-some model car. So they're not like they're living high on the hog. They just can't hardly make it. Well, that's
but
the truth.
But we have a great economy because the stock markets are hitting on record highs, right?
Absolutely. That's what they keep telling us.
Yeah, that's what they keep telling us. This popped up on my screen. I don't know if we had it on topics to talk about. Comcast, but this just annoys me. Comcast, you know, they provide cable to your TV, phones, internet. Well, now Comcast is working on an in-home device. Now, maybe you guys heard about this before. I mean, we hear about the devices that people wear, you know, help, I've fallen and I can't get up. We chuckle at it as we see people. And I've even known people, elderly people, who have fallen. And when they call in and say, help, I've fallen, I can't get up, they start chuckling because they think of these commercials. I mean, it's kind of ingrained in our brain. Help, I've fallen, I can't get up. It's for old people who, you know, or live by themselves and so forth. But Comcast is working on an in-home device to monitor people's health. Now, this, it's just like, no, you guys stay with TV. You know, you stay with cable and so forth. You don't get involved in my health. But they're beginning to do this. They're going to do pilot testing later this year. Comcast, who previously worked at the consulting, this guy is Sumit Nagpal. He's a senior vice president and general manager of health innovation at Comcast. And he previously worked at the consulting firm Accenture. He's been working on this device for more than a year. And wait till I get to the good part here. Comcast, the device will monitor people's basic health metrics using ambient sensors with focus on whether someone is making frequent trips to the bathroom, maybe spending a little more time in bed. Wow. They'll also look for detecting falls, and of course common and potentially fatal for seniors, which are falls. I'm going to finish this up when we get back from break, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Heading into the break, we were talking about Comcast is getting into the health business, and they're looking to have a device that they're going to start testing, and they're going to be able to tell if you spend too much time in bed, if you go to the bathroom too often. I mean, isn't that just, again, it's one thing if you fall, you know? But, I mean, Apple's done it with their smartwatch, and everybody's just doing this because, you know, everybody wants to be healthy, so they think it's important that they need to wear all these smartwatches and all these other devices to monitor you. I mean, people are scared to I know people who take that are not old. They take their blood pressures every, and there's nothing wrong with them. I got to take my blood pressure. You know, I mean, the medical profession has talked us into being scared of, I don't know what they've talked us into, but we're scared of something. And yes, always. I think it's good that you get your blood test. Hey, a good medical once a year should do it. And, you know, if you're good and healthy and you eat right, well, you know, we're pretty good, aren't we, Butch?
Yeah, I think so. I personally go to VA every 6 months for a blood checkup and check things out. And I'm always showed up pretty good on the test, so I guess I'm all right. But, you know, I do know, as you mentioned, people, what's the word for them, hypochondriacs?
Yeah.
I mean, if you mention anything, they got it.
But they've been led to be like
that.
They
have been. They have
been. By these pharmaceuticals and these medical companies and so forth. And Comcast has been in talks with several large hospitals. And the discussions with Comcast have centered around using the device to ensure that patients don't end up back in the hospital after they've been discharged. Hospitals are getting penalized by the federal government for failing to ensure that patients don't end up right back in the emergency room and are looking for tools to monitor patients remotely. I didn't know hospitals were getting penalized by the federal government. So if you go to the emergency room and you go back, well, you know what? If the doctors in the emergency room were halfway good, you probably wouldn't end up back in the emergency room. The emergency room here in Berlin, Maryland, they don't even have a doctor in there. They have a nurse practitioner. So if you go in an emergency on a Friday evening, you know, they have to call the doctor in. So I don't know. It's just kind of...
Well...
It's just like everything else, you know, Butch?
Sure, it
is.
It's
like, it's like, you know, all this great technology that we could have and everything else. I mean, there's just nothing but infringing on our privacy. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. And you're getting old. Guess what? If you go to the emergency room and you end up back, they won't let you in there anymore. You go once, that's it. They might give us once 6 months, but you can only come to the emergency room once a year. That is your annual visit to the emergency. Who knows? But it's getting scary on how they're going to monitor each and every one of us for our health.
Well, that's how you handle cattle. You know,
yes.
you keep an eye on them, and if you want them, give them a shot. You can't. You know, of course, you're going to take care of them because they're chattel. They're going to sell them one day or eat them. Same thing with people. But, you know, we're getting in, and I'm going to share this article.
Well, what do they do with dairy cattle when they no longer can
produce? They slaughter them.
They slaughter them.
Yes, absolutely. Same thing with us. They want us to, you know, euthanasia. Exactly. That's coming around. You know that.
It is.
But, you know, it all ties in this next article here. It's called socialized medicine. Almost every nation has it. And now we're going down the same road very quickly. But here's the sad part. 4 in 10 Americans embrace some form of socialism, Melody. Almost half Americans embrace an idea of socialism. 51% say they think it would be a bad idea for the country. 43% say it will be a good thing. Now, that is amazing. And back in 1942, when they did a report, they said 40% of people described that socialism as a bad thing, 25% said a good thing, 34% didn't have an opinion. But today, they got an opinion. Almost half of them think socialism in some ways, in some type, is good for us. And Obamacare is socialized medicine, is it not?
Yes, it is.
And so Medicare and Medicaid and everything else is socialized medicine. So as people overwhelm the system, the guys say, you can go back to emergency room for another, what you said, 6 months a year. You can't do it. You'll be penalized if you do. And you can't get that surgery because we're backed up here with other people for so long, you know, you might die if we get the surgery. Now, this, folks, is not a joke. This is serious. But almost half of Americans think we should have some type of socialism in this country. And that's, most of them are young people. That's why Bernie has such a strong attraction. Now, Melanie, that is scary. And the free enterprise system in America has not really been free enterprise either. It's been, but anything it has been capitalism in an evil way. Greedy corporations and businesses have caused a lot of people to become frustrated and angry with them. And monopolies with power companies and phone companies do the same thing. So, yeah, I understand where they're coming from. They're fed up with this greed. But they want socialism, which will bring us down as we're turning to, if we click right now, we're turning into a third world country. We're going to discuss that a little bit after a while. We're being turned into a third world nation. And the infrastructure, the living standards of this country are showing that every day we're being taken down a notch at a time, just like the elite wanted, Melody, to bring us down from our pedestal, so to speak, and personal level of other nations. And it's happening every day, is it not?
It is. And, you know, and I wanted to read this email that I received, and I don't have it in front of me. But, you know what? This has been going on for a very long time. It just isn't the past administration or the administration before. I mean, this has been going on for 40, 50 years.
Decades, yes.
Decades. It's been going on for decades. You know, and here we are today. And, you know, it wasn't noticed so much. It wasn't noticed that much 50 years ago, because there was always another job there for you to have. There was enough manufacturing to intake, you know, those who lost their jobs. But a lot of this, involved trade and everything, but also the Environmental Protection Agency. You know, when they started trying to regulate these, and by all means, look what DuPont and them have done. But you know what? Instead of regulate them, fine them and send them to jail. Make them clean up their messes so the people of this country would have clean drinking water and they wouldn't end up with cancers throughout their body, you know, 40, 50 years later. But no, let's just regulate, you know.
Tax.
Let's just tax. Tax the people to where they have to buy bottled water, for goodness sakes. I can remember the first bottled water that came out. I said, well, who in the heck would buy water? You know? Now nobody drinks water unless it comes in a bottle.
That's very true.
So how good is our infrastructure, ladies and gentlemen? How good is this country? And no one talks about our infrastructure because there's no money left to do it unless you have it. Because they're going to come after and get it. You're talking, you know, hey, no one talks about the great little meeting that Schumer and Pelosi had with President Trump, talking about the infrastructure spending for $2 trillion. Oh, well, no, maybe not $2 trillion. Maybe between $1.5 to $2 trillion, the administration says. Jeez. Where's all the new factories with good wages so we can afford it? Where's all that? It's not coming back. You can put all the tariffs you want on China. But you've got Vietnam. You got India. You got the Philippines. You have every other third world country that pays pennies per month for work. Good grief, it's not coming back. So our standard of living is dropping unless you have a way to protect your purchasing power. Good grief. I'm sorry.
You're right. I mean, you're just talking about that. I'm reading here, John Deere slices production amid a 1980s-style farm crisis collapse in the Midwest. And we know the Midwest is being hammered with weather. Heavy flooding in the last several months across the Midwest, a deepening trade with war with China, depressed commodity prices, skyrocketing fuel costs, declining land values, and massive debt loads have squeezed farmers so much that Deere has slashed production last week to deal with a downturn. Deere executives on an earnings call last week warned the shipments of tractors would decline by 20%, Melody. There's no demand for them. Farmers are fixing up the old equipment they can't afford new ones. So yeah, the economy is declining. And people's standard of livings are declining. If John Deere slices 20% production, then they have to slice your workforce. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just stupid, but I can't see where all this is growing and blooming so well.
Well, you know what? The same thing happened. You know, I talk about, you know, we exported our inflation to China because they can make these trinkets and send back to us so we can buy a lot lower prices. But they've done the same thing with our food. Why do you think the farmers are struggling? Why do you think we have so much food being imported? What, because we can't grow our own crops to feed the 300 million people we have in this country? No, it's to keep prices down. Do you have any idea where prices would be if we weren't importing all this food from around the world that you should be scared to death to eat? They don't have regulations for pesticides and everything else in these other countries.
And in the meantime,
no, farmers get to have Monsanto.
That's right. In the meantime, farmers are going out of business.
Good grief.
And farmers are going out of business every day. Some committing suicide. And those farmers are what used to produce our food in the USA and was affordable. We could buy it even. It wasn't that expensive. But now, because of inflation, if it were produced here now at standard rates, Melody, we couldn't afford a tomato.
And that's all because of our fiat currency.
That's right. Exactly right.
We get what? Most of our tomatoes. I'm back on my tomato tangent. Tomatoes from Mexico. That's where we get our tomatoes.
It's true.
I've seen programs of fields of tomatoes being trashed because they might have a little blemish on them because it's not good enough for the American people. So we'd rather import tomatoes. Gee, does anything make sense?
Well, when America lost the ability to feed herself, she lost the ability to be a free nation. That's all there is to it.
We didn't lose the ability. They gave it away.
It was taken from us, whatever the reason may be.
It was taken from us.
And with the fiat currency since 1960s, the inflation rate is eating everybody alive, and farmers included. So it's just what's happened, and whether you like it or not. You know, do you ever wonder why they created fiat currency? People, listen a minute. You can't do an income tax on hard currency. You can't do a state income tax on hard currency. It doesn't work that way. It's hard currency. Once they started doing fiat currency, they quit doing cash in hand. They started giving you checks, which were taxed first, or blips on a computer somewhere where your money's being put in and taxed first. Hard currency can't be taxed, people, with income taxes. That's why they change it to a fiat currency. Think about this for a minute, please. And as taxes go up and a dollar comes down in value, you suffer more and more. Now, our standard living, Melody, will say, oh, look, everybody's driving two cars and other. Yeah, but it's because of credit. It's not because we earned it. We may be paying for it, but we didn't work to save up to get it. We got it on credit. Credit makes this nation run, and credit's going to poop out one day. It's going to happen. It's going to hurt a lot of people in a lot of ways. Businesses, corporations, and individuals are going to be hurting big time. And if they don't have something to fall back on, something sound, not a stock in a stock market or a glitch on a computer screen, hard asset. How about a piece of silver, a piece of gold? How about something that has a value that you can barter or sell even? People think about this. Or food in food stored. Yeah. Or a water filter like Berkey's way off industry and call decision. How about all these things? Melody, am I making any sense here?
Well, we both are today. And
yes, we are.
And, you know, we just live in this world where you can't listen to anything. And I understand now why people have a tendency to perhaps not do as much research and so forth, because it's constantly changing so much. I mean, it can wear you out. I mean, I'm going to switch the topic here just a little bit. I saw a headline. Iran threat has been put on hold. Oh, okay, let's just put that threat on hold. It's no big deal. You know, it's like, how crazy is everything? Defense Secretary Pat Shanahan, he said that the prospect of an Iranian attack on Americans has been, quote-unquote, put on hold.
I'm glad they can do that.
Yeah, I'm so glad they can do that. Yeah, just put on, we're going to put that on hold for a little bit. You know, we got other things to do and discuss and so forth. It's like, well, okay. But, you know, the Iran went to the UN saying, hey, we're trying to make discussions with the U.S. and they're not allowing us. Like, probably the UN came down on the United States and said, hey, you know, these two countries should talk, you know. So, yeah, put on hold.
But you know, another reason too.
I'm glad. Don't get me wrong, but how bad was it to begin with? But yet, you hear all these threats. You hear all these comments flying back and forth.
Absolutely. But you know, one of the reasons some people don't want to look into the truth of things. Now, I'm going to go to break a second. No, we are. Now, there are two major forces, Melody, to maneuver and control people. Now, the second major force is fear. Fear motivates to obey. Fear motivates to do what you're told to do. But the real one that keeps people placated and following orders is false hope. As long as we have false hope that Trump's going to fix this, we're easier to handle. We don't get as angry because he's going to fix it. False hope is worse than fear to keep people placated and motivated to do what the government tells them to do. We'll get through this crisis, then we'll be all right. Just false hope. We'll make it through this. Don't worry. That is the biggest.
Is it false hope or greed?
Well, they go together. They go together.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. I mean, Ford is slashing 10% of its salaried workforce worldwide. Why is Ford slashing workforces? Are they going broke? Are they that? Is it slowed down that much?
And I believe they were one of the ones that gave bonuses after the tax cuts. Made all these big promises, and
yes,
President Trump was saying, you know, job well done, and blah, 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 blah. This is what you get. There's no loyalty to this country or to you, ladies and gentlemen. It's loyalty to their little back pockets, the pocketbooks, their change. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. There's another headline here. I guess this might be a little interesting. I'll just break it up here. Although this is coming, House Committee issues subpoenas to former White House officials Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson. And Justice Department is willing to hand over counterintelligence if Schiff backs off enforcement action. So the Justice Department is trying to stay off an enforcement action against Attorney General William Barr this week, making a rare offer to the House Intelligence Committee review materials. Does that mean anything? We'll see.
That's it. This has been going on for years. This has gone 2.5 years now. I guess we'll see.
Well, you know what I didn't know? I was listening to Fox, and Judge Napolitano was on, and they were talking about McCann. And we all know that President Trump has asked McCann not to, you know, honor the subpoena, not to show up and so forth. And Judge Napolitano made a good point. He said, you know, McCann was not the attorney for, he didn't represent President Trump. He represents the office of the presidency. So not personally the president, but the office. And he says, but then he went on to said something interesting. And all of this stuff that McCann has, when he testified for 30 hours, Congress only got a summary. They didn't get the full, and that's what all this is. That's why they're doing this, and that's why McCann got the subpoenas, because they just got a summary, just kind of like the, what, you know, the report from Mueller. Right. Everybody just gets a summary, and they want the whole thing. So I'm thinking, just give them the whole darn thing.
Yeah, no point testifying again. Just give it to them.
Just give it to them.
It's all recorded.
It's all recorded.
Gracious.
So, I mean, that's so... You know, don't know, you know, why they're making it such a big deal. Just give it to them.
That'll make you feel good to know that you're paying their salaries.
Good grief. On both sides.
Yes. Yes. Very true. Very true.
Get it done. Get it over instead of trying to make your own point. And just, good grief. Bunch of children.
And I'll share one that I think you'll find interesting. An RV camp sprang up outside Google's headquarters. Now Mountain View wants to ban it. Now, this is really a sad story. It really is. In a quiet neighborhood near Google's headquarters last month, rusty, stinky sewage seeping from a parked RV onto the otherwise pristine street. Sergeant Whitehead Maggie of the Mountain View Police Department was furious. "You guys need to take care of it like ASAP," he said, lecturing the young couple living in the vehicle. "I'm not going to tow it today, but tomorrow if I come out here and it's like this, it's going to get towed." As he delivered the ultimatum, a self-driving car rolled past. Mountain View is a wealthy town that homes to Alphabet Incorporated, the world's fourth most valuable public corporation, Google owner. McGee spends a lot of time knocking on the doors of RVs parked on the city streets, logging license plates and marking rigs that haven't moved for several days. This is the epicenter of a Silicon Valley tech boom that is minting millionaires, but also fueling a homelessness crisis that the United Nations recently deemed a human rights violation. Thousands of people live in RVs across San Francisco and the broader Bay Area because they can't afford to rent or buy homes. In December, Mountain View police logged almost 300 RVs that appeared to be used as primary residences. Palo Alto, Berkeley, and other Bay Area towns have similar numbers. Billy, that is amazing. They live right in the heart of the biggest boon as far as technology in the country and the world with well-paying jobs, but they can't afford to buy a home or rent a home. So they live in motorhomes and vans, and the cops harass them because they're there. Isn't that a shame?
It really is.
You know, it really is. I mean, it just breaks my heart to show how what used to be one of the show cities of this nation has come to the point now that people are living in RVs. But that's it's bad, but it's not all. It says, rotting trash piles sky high in L.A., attracting rats and raising concerns of a new epidemic. Now, this is another city at one time was a show city. After reporting L.A.'s most notorious trash pile, the city's 311 service outline, the I team was told it could take up to 90 days before it cleaned up. An expert says there's no time to waste. Last year, a record 124 typhus cases were reported in Los Angeles County alone. The city's most notorious trash pile downtown L.A. was cleaned up, but that didn't last. Other large U.S. cities like New York and Washington, D.C. have teams devoted to aggressive rat control. The rats are bringing in fleas and spreading diseases, including typhus. Remember, this is what you read back in the Middle Ages in cities. This is what you read about in India or South America. But now it's in L.A. and New York and Washington, D.C. A rat plague that's spreading disease because trash just piled up on the streets. My goodness, Melody, this is so sad. America was once so richly blessed and so exalted, and now look at us today. That's sad.
But it is sad. But you know, we still, you know, people live here. Well, a large part of people. Do we still live better than most places around the world?
Well, we do. But
you look at pictures that Abhi. If you go to Saudi Arabia and you look at some of these cities and so forth, but the people, our true richness, our true wealth was our freedom.
It was.
Our freedom, our liberties, our rights, our constitution. That is our real blessing of this country. And when we see our infrastructure decay into the degree that you just explained, that is also a sign
of a decaying society. That's what it is. And you know, we have a higher standard of living, I'd say, than most countries as of right now, but we're dropping lower every day. How long before we are equal to them or worse? So this is really I hate to see this, because I'm blessed to live where I live out in the country. Nothing around me that, you know, that is anywhere like this, but people are living like this. That breaks my heart, because I'm sure they have children and they have other things they have to take care of. They're living in RVs and campers. Some years ago, and around 2008, a little bit after, when they had the housing market hit, a guy called me from Colorado. Him, his wife, and three children living in a station wagon. In the wintertime. This is the wintertime. So that is, what can I say? Whether they do it for 6 months or 6 years or 60 years, it's not a pleasant thing to think about, is it?
No, it isn't. And you know, in the beginning of the program, we were talking about taxes. And the U.S. Internal Revenue Service yesterday released its fiscal year 2018 data book. U.S. taxpayers paid a total of $3.465 trillion in taxes last year.
Wow.
This is the highest total ever. In 2018, individual income tax payments totaled $1.9 trillion, and I'm rounding these numbers out, or 55% of the total. Business income tax totaled $262 billion.
And that's tax
7.6%. So, individuals, we pay 56%, basically, 55.8%. And they paid 7.6. So, you know, I mean, this goes and breaks down some of the other ones about Social Security, Medicare, taxes, and so forth, who paid what and how much. And it's a lot of numbers. But when you get down to the net collections last year, just totaled just over $3 trillion. Business income tax accounted for, as I mentioned, Well, that's not what I wanted to. There was a different paragraph I wanted to share. But anyway, you get the gist.
Yes, we do.
And you get the gist of why people are having a hard time. My gosh. That's a lot of tax. We still can't make it.
It is a lot of tax.
Half
the income and half the income going in taxes, Mel. Do you know that? Income tax, state taxes, federal taxes, property taxes, food taxes, gasoline taxes, clothing taxes. You're paying out over half your earnings in taxes.
Absolutely.
And that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
And you know, and they expect the housing market to increase last month, but they said it's almost 3%, it dropped 0.4%. So the housing market has not come back. It says it's some of the worst since 2008. So doesn't this all tie together?
It should.
It's
but
like
Wall
together.
Street doesn't know yet.
No, they, well,
but
they're
you
not
know,
going
it's,
to.
It's no different than anything else than going into 2008. And of course, you have the, you know, you have the government, you have the, all the economic advisors in the White House and so forth here and there. You have the mainstream financial news programs, and they're not going to tell you that there's problems. They're not going to tell you that there's issues, you know, because that might change people's investing directions. You know, they might want to do something else. Gee whiz, they might want to come into gold. Can't have that.
Wow.
So they're just going to lie. They're just going to lie and continue to lie. And as long as the market sustains these levels, it supports their lies. So,
you know, people need to appreciate you even more because of what you do for me and how honest you are with your dealings. Now, I'm going to tell you how I know this. I don't watch this very often. I did watch last night a show selling Silver Eagles. Silver Eagles, you know, is one of my favorite coins. You know that.
Mm-hmm, yes.
They had a collection. They called it a collection of 31 Silver Eagles, different years, starting back in 1986, and they were nice in a nice little container, you know, and graded and all that, which is fine. 31 Silver Eagles. Now, what's the price on Silver Eagles today, Melody, for brand new ones? What's the price on them?
Oh,
roughly.
$17.
$17. Okay. They had 31 of them for almost $1,800. $1,780-some. Now,
there
that's a deal, is it not?
Well, you know what? There are some rare dates in there. I'm not going to say they're rare dates because some low mintage dates, and the reason there was some low mintage, and I'm just going to use this year as an example, 1996. What happened that year is, number one, they was limited in minting, but also this was when they first started selling silver on television. It might not have been the
1996. Okay.
I'm talking about 1996 as
a
high price is a high price coin, because that was also the year these companies took them off the market and they enameled them. Remember, you see the silver eagle that was red, white, and blue, and they took a lot of them off. They took millions of them off the market. So when these sets, when we started putting together these sets from, you know, the initial year of the silver eagle, 1986 to today, it's hard to find some of those years in there. Because number one, for that reason, number two, the people who bought all these silver eagles, they're not selling them. They're holding them. So you can't find them in the secondary market, which is where they would come from. So it has put some high prices on some of the coins, and 1996 is one of them. But selling it for $700, we could probably sell that for maybe $1,400 or something like that.
Well, you know,
it is expensive because of that. Plus, they're graded. They show them as graded.
They're graded, yes. They are graded.
It takes $30. It takes $30 a coin to grade.
But when the economy falls, are people going to buy it because of collectors or because of silver?
They're buying both. Both, Butch.
I mean, when the economy falls, they'll still pay premium price for collectibles?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't
let anybody tell you any different.
Just learn something here. Thank you. That's
and
why
I've
I deal
heard
with you.
This I've heard this lots of times. Well, who's going to buy these coins when if you can't find product of something, people will buy it. It's just not. You're going to have attorneys, you're going to have lawyers, you're going to have doctors, coming into this market. You're going to have investments, people that are turning over their investments. Rare coins will go nuts. And you got to remember, a lot of these dealers out there who say, oh, don't buy those coins because they're not any good. Who's going to buy them when the stuff hits the fan? They just want to sell you something that they're selling. That's all.
I love your honesty. I love your honesty.
When there's a low mintage of something, I don't care. You know, they all have a market. The problem is how these dealers sell it. They're the crooks. It's not the coin that performs poorly. But, I mean, there's dealers out there where people would spend $100,000 and they got $20,000 worth of product.
Yeah.
Yep, and those, and some of those who yell the loudest, you know, they probably have something else. There's one guy out there, oh, you don't want to buy those coins. But yet he's going to pitch you penny stocks, mining shares, or some kind of a fund that's promising you all types of returns. Who do you think is going to buy that in an economic downturn? It's paper. So... You gotta. Somebody called me on. Well, I've listened to this person, and you know he believes everything's gonna fall apart. What kind of money manager is he? He recommends 20% in physical metals. Well, I can't tell you what kind of person he is.
I work all night,
but he's a money manager.
Pay the bills I have to
they
pay.
All work. They all do about the same. They don't have a special gift that makes them, you know, to have a better portfolio than everybody else. It's hit and miss, just like every financial planner and what they put in their portfolios. And we're out of time, Butch. 800-375-418. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.